You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The pleasures of summertime on the Great Lakes carry a risk: drowning. The Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium has been tracking drownings in the Great Lakes since 2010. They're closing in now on 600. Most of those drownings could have been prevented, and that's the mission of this group. Janie Ratcliffe is leading the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium, and this is very, very personal to him. That's because in 2013, Jamie nearly drowned in a Lake Michigan rip current. He is with us now. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you.
So every time you hear another news report of someone drowning, particularly in a Great Lakes rip current, how does that feel?
It's amazing that it continues to happen. They're all preventable. And if more people knew what to do to avoid, to escape, to safely save others, there would be far less or maybe even no drownings.
And then thinking that this happened to you in 2013, tell us what happened.
I was having a rough year, and I decided to head up to my favorite place in the whole world, which is up there near the Sleeping Bear Dunes area. And I decided to go in the water. Most people that end up drowning never intended to get in the water. I didn't intend to get in the water, but spontaneously I thought, this is a beautiful day. There's waves. There's other people playing. This was at Vans Beach in Leland, and I just went out wading, splashing in the waves a little bit, and pretty soon I realized it's up to my chest and it's heading up to my neck, and I thought, I better start heading back into shore. So as I'm moving towards the beach, I realize I'm moonwalking. I'm walking towards the beach, but I'm actually being pushed back out into the lake. And I realized this is one of those rip currents. I learned about those on the most educational program of all time, Baywatch. And I instinctively flipped over onto my back so I wouldn't inhale water. And I knew not to try to fight the current. I swam to the side, but the waves were just relentless, and they just kept pounding me down underwater. I'd hit the bottom. I'd come back up. I'd try to gasp for air. I'd try to yell for help. I'd try to wave. I'd just get knocked back down. And pretty soon, I realized I'm not going to get out of this.
What a thought and a moment that must have been.
It was such a beautiful summer day, and just out of nowhere, this is how I'm going to die. That was what came across. I wasn't panicking. I wasn't, you know, my whole life wasn't flashing before me. It was more disbelief than anything else that this is it. No one's going to save me. And then
How far out were you?
I'm not sure. Maybe 100 yards. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But all I could see were waves and underwater. I mean, I couldn't see the shore. I got all disoriented. I couldn't tell because they're 4 and 5 feet high out there. And I just got exhausted, and I thought, I'm just going to have to go down and inhale and hope that it's quick and painless and hope that I see my dad and my grandparents and all that kind of thing. And everything went dark, and everything got quiet, and then I felt like I was being carried, and I felt I was being set down in the warm sand, and then I could hear muffled voices, and I started to make out that they were asking me if I was okay, and I was asking them if I was dead because I thought I was. And they said, no, you're on the beach. I said, I can't be. I was just out there in the lake drowning. And they said, no, someone saved you. And I'm still arguing with them. I'm in shock. And I'm saying, no one was there. I couldn't. They said, no, two people in a kayak saved you.
Wow. They saw you and somehow grabbed you as you were being tossed up? Or what happened?
The smart thing I did was I yelled for help. Even though, you know, your instinct, maybe as a guy, maybe with big ego, you don't want to yell for help. But I yelled for help early. And I quickly dismissed it as, oh, they're not going to hear me with the wind and the waves crashing. But somebody did hear me, and they ran and they commandeered a kayak from a local cottage, and they got to me at the last possible second. And the reason I know that is they brought me into shore and everything, and I was in shock. But if they had gotten there a few seconds later, I would have gone under, and they wouldn't have found me for days. And the reason I know that is a 16-year-old boy got caught in the same rip current about 45 minutes later. And no one saved him. And that's why I started the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium a few years later.
Let's not let this happen.
I mean, most people, when they have a near-death experience like this, you know, they're in rehab, they're injured, they're in the hospital. I was fine the next day, other than a little bit of survivor guilt. And then I thought, well, I'm a communication guy. I've been this in my career my whole life. I could create an awareness campaign because no one knows about this. I just discovered rip currents in the Great Lakes. But then I started talking to people and others started reaching out to me, and I found out that there are people working on this, and they asked me to join them.
And so when we say Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium, made up of who exactly?
Well, there have been a lot of people working on this, I found, but in small pockets in different areas around Michigan, around other Great Lakes states, around Ontario, but they weren't working together. And they were all, you know, doing a great job, but they had different messaging, different campaigns, different recommendations. And I decided I need to bring these people together.
As a communications guy, you know a focused message, right?
If we can focus the message and be consistent and repeat it, it's much more likely to get through.
What's the message?
Know how to avoid, escape, and safely save others. If you're going to avoid it, I mean, know before you go. Check with the National Weather Service and find out if there's a forecast for rip currents or other dangerous currents. They have a beach hazards website that's live, tells you the current conditions. When in doubt, don't go out. If it looks dangerous, if there's waves crashing, if they're near a pier, whatever, just don't go out. When in doubt, don't go out. That's one of our main messages. But if you do, and you do get trapped in a dangerous current, like a rip current, we advocate flip, float, and follow. We want everybody to know this just like stop, drop, and roll. Flip over onto your back so you can conserve energy. Don't panic. Float. As long as you're floating, you're alive and you're conserving energy. And then follow the path of least resistance, because the rip current will eventually release you and bring you back. The waves will then bring you back. But don't try to fight it. Michael Phelps can't fight it. You're not going to be able to fight it. Swim to the side.
But you flipped and floated, and the waves were knocking you down.
The waves were so relentless that day. They were 4 and 5 feet high, and they were every 5 and 6 seconds. I mean, meteorologists who work with the oceans say, oh, the Great Lakes, they don't have rip currents there. They can't be that dangerous. But they are, because the period between them is much shorter. On the oceans, the waves may be larger, but you have less time to escape.
And we know there was an 80% spike in Great Lakes drownings last year, and you're saying 2017 may be even worse. What's going on?
There's warmer air temperatures, which are drawing people to the beaches. There's warmer water temperatures, which are drawing them from the beaches into the waters. And there's higher water levels, which brings the wave energy closer to shore. So if you have the waves coming in, generally it just piles up evenly on the beach and goes back out evenly. But if there's a break in the sandbar or something else causes it, if it's near a pier, there's other dangerous currents going on, and you can get caught in that, and it drags you out. So that's where the people are, and that's where the rip currents are.
I know you're focused on as the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium, focused on the Great Lakes, but what about inland lakes as far as drownings that happen there? How much of that can be prevented?
A lot of that can be prevented. And the main thing, I think what's most important, if I were to just give you one bit of advice, wear a life jacket. Don't just bring it. Wear it. A lot of people have it in their boats, and then they fall off the boat. The boat drifts away. They can't get back to it. If you're riding a bike, you don't try to put your bike helmet on as you're crashing. If you're crashing in a car, you don't put your seatbelt on then. It's too late. Bring a life jacket. And people think, oh, they're just these ugly orange things. I don't want to wear that. They're really cool looking now. They have all kinds of designs. They're very small. You can have some that inflate when you pull a string or when you hit the water automatically. But some sort of portable flotation device will absolutely save lives.
How much of this spike do you think is attributable to budget cuts that have taken lifeguards off beaches?
Lifeguards save lives. And Michigan, for example, spends millions and millions of dollars on campaigns like Pier Michigan to get people to come to the lake shores, which is great. But they spend virtually nothing on keeping them safe once they get there. Lifeguards save lives. And if you think lifeguards are too expensive, think about the costs of a dive team. I mean, the Coast Guard will tell you that's about $4,500 an hour. Or a search and rescue helicopter, that's about $16,000 an hour. You're talking $250,000 for a 24-hour search. Think of all the lifeguards you can put along the shores for that money.
So you're basically talking to community officials that make these budget cuts.
Yes. Yeah, they talk about liability, and the Attorney General's ruled there's no liability for this. You can try to make people safe. You can put equipment out there. If the equipment gets stolen, you replace it. You're not going to be liable. And then the other argument is budgets, but it's going to cost you a lot more after the fact than in prevention.
What's the biggest legacy you hope will come from the work you're doing with the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium?
Less drownings, less pain, less grief. I mean, I've met so many families of these victims. Jermaine Zirkle, his mom, Lisa, is just wonderful. And he drowned in a structural current in Lake Erie. And she's just amazing, all the work she's doing. The Matt Coker, a 15-year-old boy, just at summer camp doing some great work. Kind, gentle, giant boy, beautiful. And just disappeared in the waves. It happens all the time, and it's all preventable. And we need to get the word out so people know. Flip, float, and follow if you get caught in a dangerous current. Wear a life jacket. Call for help. Don't swim alone. There's lots of different things. And to safely save others, I wanted to add, a lot of people will drown because they run out trying to save someone else. But grab something on the way. you know, as you're on the beach, kind of scan, are there any life jackets? Are there even a cooler, even a soccer ball, anything that can give you some flotation to help save yourself as you're saving the other person?
Well, you can get loads and loads of life-saving information by going to the website for the Great Lakes Water Safety Consortium. It's easy. Go to greatlakeswatersafety.org. Jamie Ratcliff, thank you for your time, and thank you for your life-saving efforts.
Thank you.